Luke chapter 6, starting at verse number 17. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Sorry, I lost my place there. "For that is not how their fathers treated the prophets. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." Depending on who you listen to about children and having children and having a family, one can develop a prolonged negative view. You ever wonder if you have friends that have chosen not to have children because of your description of having children? We give them the scary stories. We talk about dirty diapers. We talk about late night feedings and early morning feedings, colic and constant crying, temper tantrums, ear infections, high fevers, and having to watch Elmo over and over and over. Now, in giving these descriptions of having children, we as parents aren't really trying to scare potential parents off. We're just giving potential parents a warning. In a way, we're affording potential parents the opportunity to count the costs of parenthood. And if we limited our description of having children with the items I mentioned a second ago, we would be leaving out the blessings of having children.
Amen.
The blessing of taking place in a blessing from God. The blessing of holding your own child. The blessing of hearing your child say for the first time, "Dada" or "Mama." The blessing of children grasping you for security. The blessing of watching children grow. In my household, I've been blessed with comedy. My children make me laugh. Sometimes when I'm having a horrible day, I'm in a horrible mood, my children do something or say something that just make me laugh. These blessings do not eliminate the challenges of parenthood. They go hand in hand. I guess that the same goes for most situations in life. There are great challenges in marriages, but there are wonderful benefits and blessings. There are great challenges of being part of a church, but there are also great benefits and blessings. And when it comes to discipleship and following Jesus Christ, there are great costs and challenges, but there are great blessings and benefits. But let me caution you. Let me caution you, discipleship isn't a situation or ideal where we are constantly thinking about what we will get out of following Jesus. We set ourselves up to be disappointed if we're constantly thinking, well, what am I going to get? Now, having said that, there are several blessings that we enjoy because we have chosen to follow Jesus. Do you know that as a disciple, we enjoy the blessing of change? As disciples, we are changed people. Remember, we are people who have decided to deny ourselves and die to ourselves and empty ourselves and to fill ourselves up with the heart and the mind and the spirit of Jesus. Jesus came to this world to preach a message of change. In Mark's gospel, it says, "Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." Jesus came to preach and teach change. To follow Jesus is to change your life. Change your attitude. Change your personality. Change your outlook. Change your relationships. Like the great characters in the Bible, it means a name change. Like Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul. Our names have been changed to disciple. Disciple of Jesus. Of Jesus means that we belong to him. There's change in our life. That is a blessing. So although we sin and transgress God's law on occasion, we are not sealed by the sinner label. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." 1 Corinthians 6:19. So we belong to God who is holy, and we are called to be holy. So no longer will our names be sinners, but saints or holy ones. At some point, we were on the out looking in. We were outcasts. But the Apostle John in his first letter called the believers friends. He called them dearly beloved or dear friends. No longer will our names be outcasts. We will be called beloved, worthy to be loved, or friends of God. There's a name change going on. You see, Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans." No longer will we be called orphans, but since as disciples, Jesus has invited us in the Lord's Prayer to call his Father our Father. We are now his children. We are no longer to be orphans, but be called children of God. While we might suffer defeats in our lifetime, our lingering story is one of losing some battles, but winning in the end, winning the war. 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So our names will not be failure or defeated, but victorious. There was a great price paid for you. You were bought at a price, the text says. So our names will not be worthless. We are called redeemed. Your name will no longer be lost. You will be called saved. Your name will no longer be insignificant. You will be called ambassadors of God. Your name will no longer be ownerless. You will be called his. I could go on for days. A church, a blessing of discipleship is change. What other blessings do we enjoy as a result of listening to the call of Jesus? Again, it seems that ever since we started this discussion about discipleship weeks ago, there have been repeated calls to give up stuff, to lose stuff, to die to self, deny self. And what blessing will disciples enjoy when they are poor and don't have a lot of things? What blessings will disciples enjoy when disciples hunger and feel empty? What blessing will disciples cash in on when they weep and are in deep pain and anguish? What blessing will a disciple enjoy when the disciple feels hated, rejected, and is insulted or excluded? Jesus knew the life of the disciple. He knew the life of the disciple was going to be met with great challenges. And to those great challenges, he offers blessings. We call them Beatitudes. Beatitude is the English translation of the Latin word for blessing. To those who chooses to follow Jesus, he offers a pronouncement of blessing. And these blessings are guarantees that may not be fully realized, but can be lived in the already, but not yet. And it's not if, it's when. When the disciple is feeling poor, poor financially, or poor in spirit, understand that in your possession is the kingdom of God. When you feel like you have nothing, when you feel like you have nobody, when you feel empty, understand that in your possession is the kingdom of God. You tell me another kingdom that has ever existed in this world, where the king says to the subordinates of that kingdom, you have part ownership of this kingdom. But in the Lord's kingdom, in Christ's kingdom, those who follow him, those who have made the decision to follow him, to deny self, to empty themselves, to fill themselves up with Jesus, you become co-owners, part owner of the kingdom of God. We have ownership in the kingdom of God. It's not if, it's when. When the disciple feels hungry or empty and unfulfilled, realizing the uncomfortable feeling of hunger physically and spiritually, Jesus says, just hang in there. You will be filled to satisfaction. Jesus knows that life throws curveballs while we're sitting on that fastball, and you swing and you miss, and there are disappointments and situations that cause you to cry and mourn. But Jesus pronounces a blessing on our plight, setting forth a new ethic that weeping goes on for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's not if, it's when. When the disciple feels rejected by friends and family, when the disciple can't get their family to follow their master's teaching, when the disciple is ridiculed for believing in what people think are fairy tales, Jesus said this, they did the same thing to me. But guess what? There is reward waiting for you. I know we want our reward now, but it's waiting for us to claim it when Jesus said so. Not when, as we've alluded to, when someone gets on a radio and says it's time. But when Jesus says it's time. Personally, I'm enjoying great blessings as a disciple of Jesus. Not because my life is full of things or great stories, but because God is allowing me to be part of greater things and is writing the ultimate story. Being a disciple of Jesus is a blessing because we get to be a blessing. This is my belief, and this is a truth that I hope that we as a body come to understand and come into agreement. God is using us, disciples of Jesus, to bless the world. Just listen to the words of Jesus following the pronouncement of blessings that I read earlier in Luke, starting at verse number 27. He says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I dream about it. What if disciples of Jesus treated others always in the manner in which they wanted to be treated? It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. I'd like to add on to something like that, because there was actually a saying that kind of coexisted with this saying from Jesus, originated with Confucius. It was, do unto others so that they will do unto you the same way. So if you want people to do good to you, then you do good to them. That was Confucius. Jesus kind of switched it up. He says, you do unto others as you would want them to do unto you, whether they do it or not. What if we spent more time as disciples treating people the same way we wanted to be treated? What if we spent more time giving the same mercy that we want to receive? What if we spent more time forgiving in the same way we want to be forgiven? What if we spent more time not judging people the same way we don't want to be judged? You see, in doing so, In following this ethic of Jesus that he lays out here, we become a blessing to the world. Yet we're hesitant to follow the call of Jesus, to go out of our way to do good, to love our enemies and to do good to our enemies and to give to our enemies without expecting it back, to be merciful, to be kind to the ungrateful and wicked. You know, this happens to me a lot. You ever go to a restaurant and people are walking in the door and, you know, you happen to be by the door and you try to be kind, so you open the door for everyone that's coming in. And you'll do that for about 10 minutes, and out of the 40 people that walk in, 3 people say thank you. Wouldn't it be easy for me to say, you know what, no one's going to say thank you, I'll just shut the door, you open your own door. It may be a little corny, but that's not the way of a disciple. Mm-hmm. We don't do things so that we can get thanks. We don't do things so that people will be grateful. We don't stop doing things because they're not grateful. We go out of our way. This is the call of Jesus. I'm not making this up. This is him talking. So whether we personally see the fruition of blessing in our lives, know that being a disciple of Jesus is a blessing to someone or something, we have been chosen to mirror God Almighty in his plan to bless this world. You know, I know there's going to be a ton of us joking about this guy who predicted that the world was going to, well, actually he said yesterday was going to be the rapture, that the saved ones were going to be taken, and then in October, the world is going to be destroyed. It's going to be very easy for us to make jokes about him, and trust me, I have a ton of them already. But here's what's not being reported. It's being reported a little bit. There are a ton of followers that went and sold everything that they had. There are a ton of people who, right now, today, thinking that they were going to be raptured yesterday, have nothing. I think there's a call to some disciples here to minister to those people, not make fun of them, not marginalize them, put them in a camp of, well, I'm hungry. Well, you shouldn't have sold all your stuff. No, I'm hungry. Well, here's some food. Here's a few dollars to get you by. I believe that in the coming days, there is a call to disciples, true followers of Jesus, to minister to people who right now feel betrayed, who right now feel like all the things that they've learned from the Bible are lies. Yeah, maybe the temptation to joke is something we ought to put on the shelf. Follow this call of Jesus and be a blessing to them. I think the reason we get twisted and discouraged when it comes to discipleship is what I alluded to earlier. We want to know what we're going to get out of this. We want to know how I'm going to be served. What will I get? And church, sadly, this thinking has overcome many aspects of the religious faith. We have turned our churches from centers of healing and blessing for the world to centers to come here and get your needs met. If they're not met, complain. If complaining doesn't work, go somewhere else. Churches then resort to providing feel-good services that attract and don't offend. Meanwhile, instead of making disciples that in turn go out to bless the world, we make adherents that are consumed with coming here so that I can get mine. Listen. The blessing of discipleship is not that we get, is that we get to take part of God's ultimate plan to redeem mankind. This gives our lives significance and meaning. We are part of a mission. We are part of this never-ending process of creating, teaching, and training disciples. Hence, our Savior commissions us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. If you're looking for meaning in life, if you're looking for significance, just follow this commission of Jesus. Take your rightful place as a disciple of Jesus in God's plan for mankind and be a blessing to this world. Stop being consumed. Stop being consumed with what am I going to get out of this? Because oftentimes when we focus on what am I going to get, we leave empty and unfulfilled. How am I going to be a blessing to someone else? I know I've preached this before and I've said this before. This needs to become a priority, church.
Amen.
Stop worrying about when am I going to get mine. Jesus says, you're my disciple. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. You mourn now, you're going to laugh later. You're hungry, man, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be fulfilled. Man, they're talking about me. They're persecuting me, man. You're going to get great reward. I have nothing. You have the kingdom of God. So as we conclude this series, we've considered the way of discipleship, the call of discipleship, the cost of discipleship, and the blessing of discipleship. So I end with a simple question. I end with a question every week. Will you make a decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and will you make a decision to be a blessing? It's simple. It's an old call. It's a call that Jesus made to a few people, several hundred people, 2,000 years ago. It was a mission that he gave them to go and make disciples. It's a call that we can't say, well, he didn't speak it to us personally, so it's not my role. No, it's all of our role to make disciples, to be a blessing to this world. And that has to be our lingering story, that the church is a blessing to the world, not a curse, not an agent of condemnation, not an agent of judgment. That's God's job. Our job is to be a blessing. Our job is to tell people about life in Jesus. And again, our words won't mean much if we're not living the life. So as we conclude, some thoughts on following Jesus. I pray that you will make firm commitments to follow wherever he calls you to go. Wherever he leads you, follow him. Stop making excuses. Stop saying you can't do it. Stop saying you're not strong enough. Make a decision to follow Jesus. Let's pray. God, as you have been a blessing to us, we pray that in following you, we will be a blessing to this world, that we would, again, take serious the message of Jesus, his life and his teachings. And God, we're good at making excuses, finding reasons not to follow his call. And God, I would say, it's my confession. I don't want to speak for everyone. It's my confession that reason why sometimes I'm so hesitant to follow you and give you my whole life is because I'm consumed with me. I'm consumed with what am I going to get? I'm consumed with getting mine. God, you showed us through the ministry and testimony of your son Jesus that he was about others. He was about being a blessing to others. So God, if I'm choosing to follow Jesus, if I'm seeking to be his disciple, I'm getting rid of me and I'm becoming him. And I want to be a blessing to others. Father, there are others who have that same desire, that same cry. I pray that you would infiltrate our lives and that your Holy Spirit would take full possession of us so that we can be a blessing. Father, help us to celebrate. Teach us what it means to celebrate in the already and not yet. God, forgive us when we have blatantly disobeyed your call. God, we know that you're a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Set us straight right now as we determine as a body to follow you wherever you lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church can do anything for you, pray for you. There's something you want to share with the church, a testimony, a victory. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, confess faith in him. Make a decision to change your life. You want to signal that changed life of being buried with him in baptism. We want to give you that opportunity. Please come as we stand, sing this song.